Do you have a dark curiosity? Heart Starts Pounding, Horrors, Hauntings, and Mysteries is a weekly podcast hosted by me, Kaylin Moore. Each week, I'll take you on a dark journey through terrifying true urban legends, bizarre true crime cases, chilling tales of backwoods horror, and more. So if you're looking to join a passionate community of the darkly curious, check out Heart Starts Pounding on the free Odyssey app or wherever you get your podcasts. And remember, stay curious.
The Golden State Warriors take a commanding 3-1 lead over the Houston Rockets last night with a dub in Golden State. That court was awesome. I like that court. 109-106.
You like that court?
I liked it.
Then again, you're an Oregon guy. You probably like freaking Matthew Knight court.
The new one's better than the old one. I'm not a huge fan of it. I liked that court last night with the bridge. I thought it was cool.
I think it's hideous.
I liked it. Now, if you're asking me what my favorite court of all time is, it's the old Memorial Coliseum with the white keys
and gorgeous
in the red circle. Mm-hmm. That's my favorite. I like the simple look. But as far as like the fancy courts that they have for this City Edition uniforms, that was one of the better ones. Ugh. Indiana's bad.
Oh God, yes.
Brooklyn bad.
Yes.
Any of
the Hornets ones were dope a couple of years ago with the honeycomb.
The honeycomb? Yeah.
The honeycomb court. Yeah. Like
that was cool.
They brought it back a couple years ago, close to the old throwback Larry Johnson court.
Yeah.
Like that. That's the one, like the subtle honeycomb is on the outside the paint, inside the 3-point line.
Yeah. I like the bridge though.
Yeah.
I thought it was good last night. I like the bridge though.
I hate those jerseys too.
Oh, really?
Yeah. I think the whole thing's hideous.
Not the worst of the City Edition uniforms. A lot of those are bad.
Yes.
A lot of them are bad. All right, let's get to this actual game because, look, there are so many angles. First of all, this series is getting nasty. Actually, it started nasty, and it started with physicality because Houston was like, look, if they have the skill, we've got to muck it up, and they've been trying to do that through the entirety of this series. Well, you saw it last night, and boy, oh boy, from Draymond Green getting into it,
twice.
With just about everything, Tari Eason, Amen Thompson, anybody that really would want to get in his face, you had that. But the one where I think it actually changed the game was at the 220 mark, the cameras zoomed in on Jimmy Butler talking to Dylan Brooks. And I don't know what started this interaction.
I would imagine Dylan Brooks chirping.
Well, Jimmy Butler, I'm no lip reader.
Oh, you can tell exactly.
He called him a bum and a B.
Uh-huh. And he's been busting his ass for years.
Yeah. From that point on, Dylan Brooks did something that he should not have done. Mm-hmm. Because Jimmy Butler, from that point on, there was a 220 mark in the second quarter, went 6 of 9 from the field. Mm-hmm. 10 of 10 from the free throw line because he started getting aggressive and getting to the rim. He scored 23 of his 27 points.
He had 4 points from the first half.
From that moment on, he went absolutely crazy. And it really started, I was like, uh-oh, it was with the foul. A minute later, Dylan Brooks gets a run out on a fast break, and Jimmy Butler probably should have been called a flagrant, but he got him on the elbow. Fouled him as hard as you possibly could foul him. There was all glass, no break.
Also,
gas, no breaks.
The takeaway I have from the Houston Rockets, they're the worst dribbling team in the NBA.
Oh.
Because if you saw that, it was back-to-back plays. Dylan Brooks got the leak out, and it looked like he was dribbling with hockey gloves. Like, just slapping at the ball. And I'm just like, what? Why are you not pulling away? Like, you could see him struggling to get his gait and dribble at the same time. Like, he couldn't push the ball out and go. It was like, what is happening here? The same thing happened. It was either the next possession, the possession after that. Fred VanVleet. The same thing happened, and he struggles, and he has to try to, like, drop it off and scramble. And it was like, what the hell is happening here? Can no one on this team dribble? And, like, the more I watched, the more I was like, Jalen Green is the only player on this team that can dribble to a spot on the floor.
You know what that is reminiscent of? The Boston Celtics before they turned the corner.
Mm-hmm.
They had nobody that could dribble.
Yeah.
It was when the two Jays were young.
Jaylen Brown can't go left. Jason Tatum's handle, with, you know, he dribbled it up at his shoulders. Like,
and it was that what everybody said, this team is young and talented, mm-hmm. but that is their weakness.
They can't get to their spots.
And lo and behold, they get some ball handlers and they go and they win a title.
And they improve their handling and
yeah,
Jaylen and Jason start driving.
And it's just one of those things where you look at it from Houston is a great regular season team. They have got all of the makings and the markers of what a really damn good franchise has the building blocks to compete mm-hmm. for championships in the future. But this is where, when they say winning in the playoffs is a learned, this is it. And you're seeing it right in front of your eyes with where Houston needs to take that next step.
They're losing on the margins. And they missed 12 free throws. They can't get up, like... There's a couple plays down the stretch. One of them that the Brandon Podziemski, who had an incredible game. And here's the thing. Let me preface this. The Rockets had a fantastic game plan. Anyone but Steph. Mm-hmm. And it was working until Dylan poked Jimmy. But if Podziemski beats you, Podziemski beats you. You just tip your hat and you go, hey, well, he did it.
If their game plan is to take Steph away, eliminate Draymond Green between the ears, mm-hmm. they did that flawlessly. Yeah. And I thought Steve Kerr answered the question perfectly after the game. He was asked, you know, have you guys figured some things out? And he goes, no, we haven't figured anything out.
No, because they're winning on the margins. And that's literally what it comes down to.
He said, you know, for I think most teams, you'll look at 37% from three and you'll be like, but they were like, well, no, because we were minus 10 in 3-point percentage. Mm-hmm. To the team that we were the team that we were playing. You know, the Rockets shoot 47% from three and the Warriors shoot 37% from three. Obviously more volume in Golden State, but they weren't hitting at the clip that they really wanted to be hitting at, because you look at it and you say, all right, how many are they getting on the other end of the floor? They were more efficient in that regard. So Kerr is like, we're not efficient there. Draymond Green played like a guy that had zero technical fouls when he picked up an early technical foul, which should not have been a tech on Draymond, I don't think. But everybody that says that's a reputation call, 100%. He got it on his reputation. I don't think, I think most of the time, if it was most people, I don't think you're getting a technical foul in the playoffs for that. But he got it nonetheless, and then still continued to play like a moron.
I mean, what he did with Tari Eason, number one, he tripped him. Number two, he kicked him. Number three, he kept his legs there and then grabbed his jersey after Tari rightfully was like, I'm going to knock the taste out of your mouth. Like, this is...
And that was the flagrant foul.
Yes.
That and was after his technical.
Number one, it should not be allowed to be a flagrant foul. The ball is dead.
Yeah.
You can't have a flagrant foul when the ball is dead. I can't wait to see how the league excuses this.
Well,
because it's 100% a technical foul and Draymond should have been gone out of the game.
They were slick in the way that they described it, because mm-hmm. the official who mic'd up with, come on, mic technology, we can have better microphones yeah. with these guys. But they said during the live ball action is when he did the tripping, which was flagrant, and everything else, I think they said was incidental after that.
Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah, when
nobody bought it, but all that is saying is that, yeah, we screwed up on the first technical foul. We don't want to run Draymond Green.
I'm Anna Garcia, host of True Crime News, the podcast. Every week, we bring you in-depth coverage on cases making headlines, as well as those that go under the radar. Tune in for Murders That Defy Explanation, Mystery Seeking Exploration, and Shocking Secrets That Will Leave You Breathless. Each week, we honor the victims by going beyond the salacious in our search for justice. Crime never stops. And neither do we. Listen to True Crime News, available now on the Odyssey app or wherever you get your podcasts.
I think that the first one was a tech, though, too. Like it was a cheap shot that he threw.
Yeah.
Number one on the screen.
I think it's a playoff.
I mean, that's why, look, I'll say it right now. I don't like Dylan Brooks, and I think he's destructive to teams. I think in the long run, Dylan Brooks is a detriment to your team. He proved it with the Grizzlies, and he's proving it with the Rockets. I love the idea of Dylan Brooks. Draymond Green is dirty. Dylan Brooks is dirty. There's no doubt about it. But over the lifespan of their careers, Draymond's antics lead to wins. Dylan Brooks Those lead to losses.
Yeah.
Time after time after time.
But they also went 52-30 in the regular season this year.
I know.
And when you have it, when you have the amount of talent that Draymond Green has been surrounded with, I mean, it is not
and he's
necessarily him leading. Yeah, he hurt them in the NBA yeah. Finals.
You're only wrong. But I'm talking
and
about
they lost a championship because of him.
Yep.
I mean,
no doubt about it.
Dylan Brooks can do the same thing, and he can be as just a valuable of a piece to a championship team as Draymond Green was because of that, but he doesn't have the talent that Draymond yes. has around him. And that's the big thing is like, if Draymond Green was on Memphis or Draymond Green was on Houston, we'd all be saying the same things about Draymond as we do Dylan Brooks, because it can be a detriment to the team because you're just not as talented everywhere else. Dylan Brooks is not playing with Steph Curry, Klay Thompson, Kevin Durant.
No, you're right. But I don't think that they're anywhere close to the same level of player.
No.
I think Draymond is leagues ahead of Dylan Brooks in basically every capacity.
They're both really good on defense.
They are. Draymond's a generational defender. Dylan's a very good defender. I think there's a very real line. But Brooks firing up Jimmy, which Jimmy flat out said in the postgame, yeah, I really appreciate somebody firing me up.
Don't poke that bear.
And she, who asked you? You got mics. You can see. You can go back and see. And look, Jimmy and Dame are very much the same on a basketball court. Jimmy will chirp a little bit. Dame will chirp a little bit. But they don't do it first. But the second you rile them up, have fun.
Yep.
Because they're going to go at you. Because they're both under-recruited, you know, 2- and 3-star guys that were just, everything they've done is they're self-made. And if you're going to put that wood on the fire, have fun with it.
Yeah.
But down the stretch, these games have all come down to the margins. And the Rockets, that testing Draymond Green of all players on a 15-foot post-up. What the hell are you doing, Ime?
Well, who else were you going to go to in that moment? Şengün was awesome. They took away Fred VanVleet.
Get him deeper.
Yeah, but it looked like Şengün panicked too.
Two possessions before that, Fred VanVleet.
Yeah.
Dribbling around for 20 seconds and then just hucking up a floater that gets blocked by Pods.
And I think the idea is there with Ime. It's the execution by his guys, right? I mean, I'm not going to say, what are you doing, Ime? Because that was a panic move by Şengün, who had otherwise a superstar-worthy performance. Yeah.
And a hell of a rebound by Jimmy Butler.
Yeah.
The other thing that came out of this game, Ime blinked with Steven Adams. And I wish he wouldn't have done it. In the fourth quarter, with about, was it five and a half to go, they go to Haka Adams. Steven Adams is a 53% free throw shooter on his career. Keep him on the floor. If you're getting one free throw, you're basically better than 1 point per possession, basically. That's better than your average offense in the playoffs for you right now. Getting 1 point of possession. And you can put the Warriors in the bonus.
Yeah, it was just so hard because Steven Adams...
They didn't even test it.
But Steven Adams was laboring. Every time he hit the floor, he was slow to get up.
He was like, so he good. Looked,
he was, but it looked like he was on his last leg.
Or run it.
Every single time he was getting up off the floor, it was like, oh boy. Oh boy, that's one of those damned if you do, damned if you don't.
Steven Adams,
I agree.
Plus 16.
Yep.
And I don't like single game plus minus generally, but like the impact he
had.
Their
double bigs went, that was a huge,
they couldn't
huge
do
factor.
Anything with them.
Yeah. Huge factor.
Offensively or defensively. They couldn't get to the rim when Steven Adams looked like OKC Steven Adams.
That block, two-handed block.
Oh,
looked
God.
Like a volleyball player.
And then he came over from the other side two possessions later, sends another one, and you're just like, yeah, I don't know, man. Maybe stick with this.
Yeah. Boy, I would love
your
to
offense
get,
sucks anyways.
I'd love to get the truth serum from Adams, and he'll be honest about, mate, just didn't have it.
Yeah.
You know, like it'll be interesting to see kind of the unpacking of all that.
But now it goes 3-1 instead of 2-2, all because you lost in the margins.
I'm Dr. Hrini Bhatt, host of Hidden History. Every Monday, I go where history gets uncomfortable. Banner civilizations, doomsday prophecies, and events that science still can't fully explain. Listen to and follow Hidden History, available now wherever you get your podcasts.